Goedemorgen. Gaan dit goed? Dit lyk so.
Met jou?
Dit gaan goed met my, dankie en tron. Voor alles ek hier klaar is, gaan dit nog beter gaan. Nelly, dit is lekker om jou te sien. Nelly en ons kom op baie lang pad. Ek onthou ek het daar kinders opgepas toe ek 'n seentjie op skool was. En dan, as hulle vuil doeke het, dan gaan hulle die bediende oor kan die pad. Dan ruil sy hulle doeke, dan pas ek hulle verder op. Dit is baie jare terug. Dit is om familie te hee. Kom ons sluit die oor. Heere, ons eer die vir die goedheid vir ons, en ons eer die, dat die lief is vir ons, Heere. Heere, en vir oggend vraag ek dat die woord in ons harte sal vaststeek. En dat dit in elkeen van ons een verandering teweeg sal bring, Heere. Heere, en dat die deur my sal praat, ten spuite van my swakhede en my tekortkoming, Heere. Ons eer die, dat dit wat u vir ons gedoen het, genoeg is, en dat ons niks tot dit kan bijvoeg nie. Seën vir oggend, seën elke een, maak die grond vrugbaar en ontvanklik, asseblief, Heere. In Jesus naam. Amen. So, ek het my woord in Engels voorbereid, doch ek gaan vir die vertalingsspan bykie breek gee. So, ek hoop julle het julle airtime gelaai, julle Engelse airtime. As jou airtime op is en jy verstaan nie, vraag my, sal ek vir Andrew vraag om julle te verduidelik. Ek wil net ook nog gog ietsie vraag, excuse. Julle sien ons is, ons trop is kort. Caleb is op een voortrekkerkamp vir 5 dae. En hy is bykie soos sy pa, hy hou nie daarvan om van die huis al weg te wees nie. As jy my wil straf, dan vat jy my van my huis al weg. En hy is so. So as jy hulle in hom dink, bid asseblief vir hom. Hy ons gaan om donderdag op en daal. Hy leer om boog te skiet en bok te slag en vleis te verwerp saam met die voortrekkers. So ek hoop hulle geniet dit baie. There has been quite a run-up to my sermon, and I was back and forth regarding what I should preach about. Now, a couple of months ago, I was in a voortrekker camp. The voortrekkers has become a big part of what we do. And we learned how to braid whips. It was very interesting, a lot of fun. And I was also tasked to bring the sermon that Sunday morning at the closing ceremony of the camp. And while we were braiding these whips, it came to me. So, I don't know, who's ever made their own whips? Oom Johan. Dan sal oom weet. So, we have a piece of spring steel, and then a couple of BB balls, and then you put them all into the sleeve, and you shrink them, and that becomes the core of your whip. And from there, you get 8 strands. We use piracic cord. You can use leather. You can use whatever you want. And then you start braiding. Ek kan nie eers my vrou se hare vleg nie. And it is quite a task to braid these things neatly. And ek en arme Karel, we sukkeld. We really did. And then we would drop a string or something would go wrong. And then the man who taught us come and he would fix it. And we would continue. And then we'd drop his name. And he says, "Nee man, wach, I'll help you." And he'd fix it for us. And then there were some other guys. They were machines, let me tell you. Everything perfect. Braided perfectly. No missed braids, nothing. Colors matched nicely. You can choose your own piracic, the cords, the colors. You can make your... And so you dwindle down from 8 to 7 to 6 to 5 to where you end up with these 2 strands on which you attach your voorslag. And I said, "You know what? That's my sermon. Because you have been woven together in your mother's womb, that inner core where nobody can see you, and he's made you special. And then life comes and it flaps its strands around you. And sometimes bad things happen and sometimes good things happen. But the Maker comes and he fixes those things. And at the end of the day, all of us had a whip that fulfilled the task that we made it for, and that was to crack. And so each of one of us in the hands of the Maker are able to fulfill what He has created for us, regardless of what life has thrown your way. So long story, that's not my sermon. I decided against that. You got that one for free. And then I decided, no, we have experienced the Lord's grace in our lives over the past year in so many different ways. And I thought I would preach about grace. And I started preparing my sermon. And then Thursday, my water pump broke that supplies water. And I got the parts. I started fixing my water pump. And as I usually do, I listen to podcasts. And I was listening to a podcast from Focus on the Family. Do yourself a favor. They've got really good content. And the lady they brought in talked about controlling your tongue. And at the end of that, I was so convicted that I thought maybe this is what I should talk about. So this morning's topic is controlling the tongue. So let me see by just a showing of hands. Who of you have spoken words and once they leave your mouth, you're like, oh no, can I take them back? Only a few of us. I thought there would be more. Okay. Most of us. Who of you remember words that were spoken to you many years ago that scarred you and you remember them till this day? Most of us. Who remember words that were spoken to you that uplifted you and encouraged you and built you up? All of us. Do words carry power? They do. Let me read to you from Proverbs a couple of verses. When words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips are wise. Proverbs 10:19. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from distress. He who guards his mouth protects his life, but the one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Proverbs 13:3. You know, guarding is a military term. It's serious business. What do you guard? Things that are precious. Things that need to be protected. And Proverbs tells us that's what you must do with your mouth. You must guard it. Maak seker jy pas op wat uit die mond uitkom. Because it can encourage, it can destroy. It can leave scars that many years later will still show. I want to read to you from James 3. It's a little bit long, but bear with me. James 3:1-17. And the topic is taming the tongue. And this almost made me not to want to come preach this morning. It said, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, where the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is. Consider when a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures, are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Who has been made in God's likeness? Out of the same mouth comes praises and curses. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reaps a harvest of righteousness. How does your speech look? How does my speech look when I speak, brothers and sisters? Everywhere we go, is our speech showing Christ? Is it bearing the image of Christ that is within us? So your speech comes from your mouth, but what is the origin of that which you say? Where does that come from? Vive le concert. Where does that come from? Yeah, from your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Wat sê die Afrikaner? Waarvan die hart vol is, loop die mond van oor. What is in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. This is a battle, church. This is not easily won. To guard your mouth in what you say. So, if there is something in your heart that you have that is causing your heart to be brackish, brak, soutwater, we need to deal with it. Because from that brackishness will come salty words. Does that make sense? If I put it like that. Jy kan nie vuil in jou hart hê en dink gaan skoon woorde by jou mond uitkom. You can also have brackishness in your heart towards a certain situation or towards a certain person. And those are things we need to deal with. Now, the lady I listened to was very dynamic, and I really challenge you to go listen to her. The book she wrote was born out of a situation she found in when she was speaking about a friend. And according to her, she was helping. But when the friend heard what she was saying, she was very upset with her. And so Deborah decided she would go on a 30-day tongue fast. And this is something I want to challenge us with. I want you to leave here today practically challenged in what you say. Not just a nice feel-good church service, but something that you take home with you. And so she said, people said to her, she would put posters up in her office everywhere. It says tongue fast. And when people came in and they said anything negative or wanted to gossip, she said, I'm sorry, I cannot partake in this conversation. Please excuse me. And she said it was so difficult. And then after a while, people said to her, listen, you need to write a book about all you've experienced. And she says, no, God is busy with me. He's not wanting me to write a book. But eventually she did write the book. And in her book, she gives 30 negative tongues, 30 ways we as people use our tongues negatively. I'm only going to use 5 for the sake of time. But I want you to see if you find yourself somewhere in these 5, maybe you find yourself more in one than in the other, and maybe you find yourself somewhere completely different. But the purpose is to make us aware of what we say. Good, so the first tongue is the know-it-all tongue. Do you know people like that? They're the people who knows everything about everything, and they know everything about every subject, and if you've been overseas once, they've been overseas 6 times. Do you know people like that? Okay, I do too. Okay. If you are one of those people, for 30 days, I challenge you. Do not always want to be the end of the conversation. Do not always want to be better or speak more. Now, I'm going to talk about me and my wife, and I've asked permission. Okay, so this won't be uncomfortable. In marriage, these things multiply. Mariska is this way of when I say something, she would say, "Nie, maar ek dink so en so," or she would state something that seems to be a fact. And I'd be like, "That, this needs so." And then one day I went to her and I said, "Do you realize that you do this? Do you realize that you say this?" And she said, "Do I really?" I said, "Well, feel like it." Last week we were packing Caleb's stuff and we had to pack gumboots. And there's a star next to it. And she says, no, it's not important. I said, no, the star must, no, it's not important. Doesn't have to take gumboots. All right. There's another story behind that. Do you state things as a fact when you're not certain that they are a fact? Just to get a word in. I, on the other hand, come home, I've had a rough day, the kitchen is not clean enough, the kids' toys are everywhere, things are demakaar, and then I get on my high horse and I say, hoekom is die goed nie skoon? En hoekom is dit nie so nie? En hoekom lyk die goed nie so nie? You know what Mariska does? Nothing. She says nothing. And then by tonight, I feel so bad that I was like that. She leaves, and this is not fair, she leaves that up to the Holy Spirit to sort me out. I'd rather her sort me out. But she doesn't. Anyway, are you one of those people who knows everything, who states everything? Is it okay, ladies, if your husband actually knows things every once in a while? And husbands, is it all right if your ladies actually know? They might know more than we think. Okay, so the first one, the know-it-all tongue. It's getting worse after this, just to let you know. The argumentative tongue. Do you like arguing? And are you willing to argue to the point where you might win the argument, but you lose the person? There is such a growing amount of intolerance amongst people nowadays. We had a visit with friends of mine that came from America. I haven't seen them in 20 years. And we went to see them, and the lady showed up with her lady partner, which obviously we didn't correct or say anything about, but we were quite uncomfortable. And I think they knew that. And I have not yet been able to make contact with them yet. If you do not agree with me, or if someone does not agree with you, do you cut them off? Are you willing to lose the person to win the argument? Are we able to say, hey, I hear you. I don't agree with you necessarily, but I hear you. But can we continue in peace? Okay, this one's bad. The complaining tongue. Who likes to complain? Okay. Like me as I can hear Renier. Me and Renier likes to complain. The rest of you, you can just sit in on this one. I find myself trapped with this every once in a while. More than once in a while, I guess. Complain about work. We find people complaining about the weather, but having to stand in queues about too much work, about too little work, about queues we have to stand in. I can't stand a queue. If I work into a bank or somewhere and there's a queue, I'm upset. But is it possible that the situation that we find ourselves in is part of God's plan to work something good in us? Who knows Romans 8:28? Who knows it? Who can say? We know that all things work together for those who love God. Okay. Amplified says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who God love. To those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Could it be that this thing that we are complaining about is something that God has planned for us in order to work good within us? You see, because the God that I serve doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep, he's not caught off guard, he's not tricked by Satan and his plans. So the things that are happening to me, is that a surprise to him? I doubt it. And could it be that if you are a child of God who loves him and who longs to please him, that this thing that is causing you discomfort is being used to work good in your life, to produce something within us that is good, and now we are complaining about it? So my challenge to you, for the next 30 days, unless the person right in front of you cannot do something about your discomfort, keep your mouth shut. Hey? Number five, kom nog. Jy wil nie om hoor. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Okay, the other one is the self-absorbed tongue. That's 4. This is the one who loves to talk about themselves. Tell you about their accomplishments, things that they have achieved. Somehow have a way of turning discussion always back to themselves. Give a little testimony about my brother. Marty, his wife, would say, Antoni knows everybody. She says, I would phone a supplier. I would speak to the receptionist. I would ask her to put me through to the salesperson. I would order my things, and I'd be done. She says, and then Antoni phones. And Santi answers the phone. And he says, hi Santi, hoe gaan dit? Is your child still sick? Is your father out of the hospital? How's your husband doing? You see, sometimes we are so absorbed about ourselves, we miss the opportunity to ask questions about other people. The other day I found myself trapped underground for 4 hours. We were waiting for a cage to come out. I was stuck with a man who I came to find out his wife was terminally ill with cancer, and he had most probably taken his last trip to France with her. That was always been a dream of theirs. When we make time to speak to people about themselves and show true interest, many times it opens doors to meaningful conversations, opens opportunities to speak into people's lives. My favorite thing to say is, hey, Johannes, oh, well, thank you. Where are you from? What are you doing here? And from there, usually the conversation just flows. We can fill up a whole conversation with ourselves if we want to. So if you like talking about yourselves frequently, for the next 30 days, you shouldn't. And this one, the half-truth tongue. It's a tongue twister. Die halve waarheid tong. Who's not guilty of this? Shoot, I'm the only one. You might make something sound more severe than it really is. Let me give you an example. I'm going to Joburg to meet a client. And I'm late. And the traffic is bad. But the traffic's not the reason why I'm late. I'm late because I woke up late. And I got in my car late. So I text my client, traffic, send. Is the traffic bad? Yes. Is the reason why I'm late the traffic? No. I've twisted the truth a little bit so that I'm out of the dwang. Or I've twisted the truth a little bit to put pressure on somebody. You understand where I'm getting at? A whole of all right. Half a truth is a complete lie. What is the attitude of our hearts when we get there? What are we trying to achieve by these half-truths? Is your heart and your motive pure? In Acts 4, we read about the church. It was going well with the church. And the church clubbed everything together. And when there was real need, people would sell properties or sell goods and bring that money to the church. And they would distribute it, and it says that nobody needed anything. And then there was a man and a lady called Ananias and Sapphira. Does it sound familiar to anybody? Who knows the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Okay, so you know it didn't end well for them. For those of you who don't know, Ananias sold his property. And in his heart, he had already decided that he would keep some of this money to himself. But when he went to Peter, he said, here is the money for my house. Was that a lie? It was, but it was the money for his house, but it was not all the money. And Peter said to him, listen, wasn't the house yours to start with? Yes, it was his house. And wasn't the money that you got from the selling the house, wasn't that yours? Yes. Then why did you lie? You could have come and said, look, I'm going to keep this much for myself and I'm going to give that to the church. But why were you deceitful about this? And Ananias fell down dead at the feet of Peter. Half a truth is a complete lie. Especially when the intentions of your heart is not where it's meant to be. Church, where do you stand with how you're using your words? Where do I stand with how I use my words? I was convicted. Our words are to be springs of life, reflecting the glory of Jesus within us. But if there is brackishness within your heart, you cannot do that. James 3. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first all pure. How are your words? Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Do they make peace? Or do they cut? This is a work in progress. Scripture says if you claim that your tongue is correct, you have a problem. He says, guard what you say. Put a guard before your mouth. So my challenge to you, aside from the five tongues, is in the next month, watch what comes out of your mouth. Does it reflect what is inside of our hearts? Amen. Excuse. Het jy nooit ek gevoel? Ja. Aside from what comes out of your mouth, Jesus' grace is unmerited. He has made a way for you and I to enter into the throne room of God, to be washed clean. The desire for you to speak words of life should come from a heart that has been regenerated by Jesus Christ. If you do it on your own, you will fail. By allowing the Lord more access to your life and to your heart, you will purify what comes from your mouth. And this morning, as we use the communion, anything good that comes from us comes from Christ. He has made a way for us to become more and more like Jesus through his death on the cross. Let me read for you from Luke. Luke 22:19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you. Church, just take a second and be quiet and look at what is brackish in your heart and bring that before the Lord. This is not the church of this church, the table of this church. It belongs to Christ. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are free to partake in the symbols today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, everything that is good comes from you. And I thank you that you have made a way for us. I thank you that you have made a way for us to clear the brackishness that's within our hearts. That you have made a way for us to be pure, blemish-free, white as snow, that you have removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And where we were red as scarlet, you have made us white as snow. May the way that we live show our gratitude to what you have done for us, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.